You know the way people always say things are too PC now? They've gone, you know, far too down the HR approved version of movies and books and whatever it is. Well, the originals were a lot more grim than maybe any of us realize. Today, the story of the pretty disturbing version of Cinderella.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. And on the back of last week's podcast, when we looked at the Disney live action remakes and asked why they're bothering to do this at all, other than money, of course, being the obvious answer, it sort of opened my mind to the idea of remakes and whether they were actually doing anything creative with it at all, which made me think about the original films, the one that we loved when we were growing up, you know, Snow White, Cinderella, all of the, you know, those classic films, Beauty and the Beast, whatever it was, and how they've been changed into modern times. So I went and read some of the original stories, and turns out they're a lot more grim than we might have remembered. Most of these actually date from 1812, from two lads called the Grimm Brothers, literally the Grimm Brothers, and they're collection of stories. They were putting a lot of these together, not actually as, you know, fairy tales, essentially. They were trying to record the spoken word history of different stories that they might have grown up with, or that their grandparents might have grown up with, and had that had different versions, you know, from Greek retellings of Cinderella to ones in Rome, to ones in Germany. That these came from a lot of different variations of the same story, essentially, and they put it down in folklore, and then their versions are the ones that have been taken and sanitized and presented to us over the last 60, 70, 80 years. And then the versions we're getting now in the last few years are even more sanitized again, that they're changed for modern times. So it's interesting to see, by looking back through them, and we're going to do this week and next week. This week Cinderella, next week Snow White. Snow White being the first, really, of the Disney films, or the Disney hits that kicked everything off. Just to look at where they came from and how much they actually differ from the original story. So, you know, as they might have said there, roll it there, Roisin. Long ago, there was a kind and beautiful young girl, and her mother, on her deathbed, called her to her side and said, "Dear child, remain pious and good, and our dear Lord will always protect you. I will look down on you from heaven and be near you." And then she died, and the girl was left alone with her grief. So already this version of the tale of Cinderella begins with death and sorrow, not necessarily chores and singing animals. The heart of the grim tale is grief. And to honour her mother, the girl visits her grave every day, crying and praying, her devotion deep and constant. But time passes, time goes by, her father remarries, his new wife comes in, she's got two daughters, and they are not the nicest people in the world. They strip the girl of her fine clothes, they give her rags to dress in, they're bullies, make her do all of the housework, the hardest chores. You know, you're familiar with a lot of this bit. Basically, she's gone from having a loving family to her days being filled with scrubbing, washing and being scolded. She doesn't have any bed. She only has the ashes by the hearth of the fire. She becomes so dirty with soot that they begin to mock her with a new name, Actionputtel, which roughly means Ash Fool or Ash Girl. And this was the name originally of the story. It wasn't called Cinderella. It was called Actionputtel, presumably from a German heritage of this particular version that they decided to write down. Actionputtel bears all of this without complaint, even though she's mistreated. She's kind, she tries to be friendly to her sisters and her wicked stepmother. And one day, you know, her father is going to a fair. He asks each of the daughters what they would like as a gift. The stepsisters, they want dresses, they want jewels, they want lovely material things. But the humble Actionputtel, she says, "Father, break off for me the first twig that brushes against your hat on the way home." And he does, and that twig, nice and easy present to bring back, I suppose, it turns out to be from a hazel tree. When he returns, she takes the twig, she goes to her mother's grave, and she plants it on the grave and cries over it so much that it grows and it turns into a beautiful tree. And on that tree perches a white bird, magical and watchful. And from then on, anything Action Puddle wishes for her, the bird gives her. So this is your fairy godmother. It was actually a white bird from a hazel stick that had grown into a tree, which probably wouldn't work as well in the cinematic version, in fairness. Time passes by, and one day then the king, he proclaims a festival. You know that, but it's not a one-night ball. The one he proclaims in the Grimm Brothers version is a three-day festival. It is like electric picnic for the fairy tale land, and there's people going on and getting absolutely wasted on a Friday night. But anyway, you know, like a lot of people are trying to do at electric picnic, the prince is trying to get a bit of action. He's trying to find a wife. He's going to choose a bride, not the smartest thing to do when you're on yokes, but look, that's what they were doing in this particular time. Action Puddle begs the stepmother to go. She wants to go to this, naturally. You, Cinderella, the stepmother scoffs, you're all covered in dirt and ash. No, you cannot go. So she says, to further begging from the girl, she gives Action Puddle an impossible task. She wants her to sort out a bowl of lentils mixed with ashes, and if she manages to do it in 2 hours, she can go to the festival. So Action Puddle, she runs out into the garden and she calls, "You tame pigeons, you turtle doves, and all of you birds beneath the sky, come and help me pick the good into the pot and the bad into your crop." And lo and behold, birds fly in, they help her sort out the lentils. She finishes it all in less than 2 hours, but still, wicked stepmammy, she refuses. She tries again the next day. Again, the birds help her, and still, she is denied. So all in a huff, she goes to her mother's grave and she prays beneath the hazel tree. And the white bird appears and throws down a dress of silver and gold and slippers made of gold, not made of glass, as the modern story would have you believe. Rather dangerous glass slippers, I always thought. If you slipped and cracked them, you sort of have weapons on your feet or cut your feet to bits either way. But then heels do that, don't they? So maybe it's not so mad. Anyway, golden slippers she gets this time around. That was a later edition after the Grimm's by a French man, actually, a French version before it ever got to Disney. So now dressed like a queen, the poor girl Action Puddle, she dances her way to EP for the fairy tale creatures. And she's so beautiful, so radiant, that nobody recognizes her, not even her stepsisters. The prince dances with only one person, and it is her. But as the night ends, she does an Irish exit. She slips away before anyone can follow. The next night, the same thing happens. Another wish to the tree, another stunning dress, without even having to use Zara Returns on the first one. And she does the same thing again. She slips away. On the third night, the prince is determined not to lose her again. So he orders the stairs smeared with pitch, like tar, essentially. And as Action Puddle flees, her golden slipper sticks and she leaves it behind. Now you have a pretty good idea of the next part. The prince wants to find her. He goes door to door. You don't have Tinder in those times. You don't have Instagram messages to try and look her up, see how many followers she has. You probably wouldn't have that many anyway. And he's trying to find the girl whose foot fits into this particular shoe. But the original version, a little bit more grim, because the stepsisters, well, they're willing to go a bit further than the Disney version to get what they want. The first sister, she tries on the slipper, but her foot is too big. So the stepmother hands her a knife and says, "Cut off your toe. When you're queen, you'll no longer need to walk." She obeys and the slipper fits. The prince takes her away on his horse and begins to ride away. But as they pass the hazel tree, the white bird calls out, "Rook-de-goo, rook-de-goo, there's blood in the shoe. The shoe's too tight. This bride is not right." He looks down and sure enough, having not noticed it before, blood is pouring from the slipper. And horrified, he turns back and deposits the now toeless stepsister on her bum. The second sister tries next again. Her foot won't fit. Her heel won't fit this time. And the stepmother says, "Cut off your heel. When you're a queen, you won't need to walk." She does. The slipper fits at first. But again, the white bird cries out, "Rook-de-goo, rook-de-goo, there's blood in the shoe." And the prince sees it and turns back once more and cools her heels. What's that phrase? Lands her on her heels? I don't know. Can't rest on her heels. That would be it, because she has quite literally chopped them off. Finally, Action Puddle is allowed to try. Her foot fits perfectly, and when she puts on both slippers, he suddenly has a, ah, gotcha moment. Yes, I remember you now, because you put on those magic slippers, and by no other defining feature, you are my bride-to-be. He takes her away and they prepare for the wedding. But the Grimms are not known for happy endings, so the story doesn't entirely end there. At the royal wedding, the stepsisters try to cozy up to the new queen, Aschenputtel, hoping to gain royal favour. They walk beside her in the procession, one on each side, I presume limping, one toeless, one heelless. But the white bird returns one final time, a little rat of a bird. And the quote is quite something, right? Because this bird is sort of your fairy godmother, has been the one who's been gifting things and has been very good. No, the bird proceeds to poke out one eye of each sister as they enter the church, and then as they leave, goes for the other one and leaves them blind and condemned to wander in darkness, a lifelong punishment for the cruelty and vanity of the wicked and ugly, depending on the version, stepsisters. Interesting, if somewhat grim, and you can kind of understand why they left some of that out of the sanitized, animated kids version of Cinderella. You're not meant to have your hero seek vengeance at the end, at least we're told now. Much more acceptable in the early 1800s and 1700s when people would have been telling this story. We're going to pick up with another one next week. We are going to pick up with Snow White because, as I mentioned, it is the first of the Disney movies to kick off that series, really. But it's also creepy, like a lot more creepy than the version you will have seen. Join us next week for that particular episode. This has been Let Me Explain. I've been Sean Defoe. Don't forget to follow to keep up to date on all new episodes, and I will chat to you next week.